Grace to you and peace from the one who was, who is, and who is to come, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So last weekend, I know some of you were, well, not here, but at Living Hope or watching or worshiping somewhere else perhaps. And last weekend, we joined with Christians around the world in celebrating Pentecost. And I started my sermon last Sunday by talking about how much I enjoy Pentecost, with the fun readings about different languages, wearing red, celebrating the birthday of the church. Pentecost is a great holiday, right? This week is not Pentecost. Today we celebrate Trinity Sunday. And I will not ask anyone if you knew before you got here today that it was Trinity Sunday. Nobody dressed, I don't know how you dress up for Trinity Sunday. But I will say, raise your hand if Trinity Sunday is your favorite festival in the church. I got one half-hearted back there. Not mine. This is a strange feast day, right? Most church days are based around a story. So Easter, of course, has the discovery of the empty tomb. Christmas has a baby in a manger. Epiphany has magi following the star. Pentecost has tongues of fire, different languages. There is no story in the Bible about the Trinity. There's hints in the Bible, like in that reading from Romans that Robin just read. Paul does, in fact, in that reading mention God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But really, he's more interested in encouraging believers than in trying to explain some sort of correct Trinitarian doctrine. In the gospel readings, Jesus is talking, and he mentions both his Father and the Holy Spirit, and he's the one talking, so all three persons of the Holy Spirit, I guess, are technically present in that reading. It's a bit of a stretch, I think. But if you're trying to select readings for Trinity Sunday, you don't have a whole lot to pick from. There's references to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture, but never the kind of precise details we might want on how God all fits together. Really, the only place in the Bible that mentions all three persons together explicitly is the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "Go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded of you, everything I've commanded you." So we get this Trinitarian formula. But even there, the right and proper theological understanding of the doctrine of the Trinity is not the point. And this whole idea of God as Trinity is hard to understand. How many gods do we believe in? One, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for getting that right. But as we just confessed, we believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons. God who creates, as our psalm talked about, God who redeems, and God who sustains. One plus one plus one equals one. And there are all kinds of ways that people try to explain how that can be true. Things like, well, a clover has three leaves and it's only one plant. Or steam and ice and liquid water are all water, right? But they're in three different forms. There are no examples fully sufficient for explaining who God is as Trinity, as three in one. A leaf by itself, if you peel off the one leaf of the clover, you have a leaf. You don't have a clover. But Jesus is fully God. I kind of like that water analogy with state changing. But God is not some sort of shape-shifting being who occasionally appears in different modes. We have symbols like three interlocking rings. That's a great symbol of Trinity. We have theological diagrams. But none of them are really adequate. Martin Luther supposedly said, and I don't know if it's true or not, but supposedly he said that to deny the Trinity is to risk our salvation. To try and explain the Trinity is to risk our sanity. In another sermon, and this one is documented, Luther said, "The Trinity as an article of faith is so far above the power of the human mind to grasp or the tongue to express that God will pardon us when we stammer and lisp as best as we can, if only our faith be pure and right." Personally, I've been ordained for nearly 6 years now. This is the first year that I have failed to be at Synod Assembly or on vacation for the week of Holy Trinity Sunday. The nature of the Trinity is one of those things people have debated and fought over for centuries. Frankly, I think Christians spend way too much time and effort trying to explain what's ultimately a mystery. We confess faith in God as Trinity because over 2,000 years of studying it, it's the best explanation that Christians have come up with for trying to understand God. Every other explanation turns out to be unbiblical, to ignore parts of Scripture, to be inadequate for grasping how God is working. Our brains are not equipped for understanding the divine. All we're left with is, as a commentary I read this week said, a feeble attempt to comprehend the incomprehensible mystery of the very nature of our God. So here's the good news. We don't have to comprehend the incomprehensible mystery. Jesus did not say, go and preach the correct doctrine. He didn't say, study hard so that you can pass the heresy test at the pearly gates. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. So this gospel reading from John comes yet again from one of Jesus' last conversations with his disciples before he's arrested and killed. And in these conversations, Jesus is trying as a teacher to cram with his students, to give them everything he can before he runs out of time with them. But he's not trying to get them to understand precise theological doctrines. They'll have plenty of time for that as the church in the next few centuries. He's trying in this moment, in this conversation, to reassure them that God is not going to leave them alone in the trials that they're going to face. He's trying to give them comfort. Believing in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is important. Don't hear me saying it's not. It's important to understand and to study who God is, to work to understand God's self-revelation to us in Jesus Christ. But the doctrine of Trinity is almost never the point. The point is the good news that Paul writes to the church in Rome. We are justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the person of Jesus Christ, a first century itinerant Jewish rabbi, God chose to be made known to us. God came to us. To live as Christians, we need to understand that God made us. Jesus, God in the flesh, entered the world and died for us. And the Holy Spirit is at work in and through us, giving us revelations of what Jesus taught. Knowing those truths, knowing that God has not left us alone in this uncertain world, that's what gives us the hope to endure sufferings, the hope that Paul talked about that does not disappoint us. The point is that God has come to be in relationship with us, and we can live in relationship with God. The doctrine of Trinity, God eternally coexisting, one God in three persons, that gives us a glimpse of God's own nature, of who God is. Not a complete picture, but a glimpse of who God is. And God's very nature is relationship. God is love. God so loved the world. And there is no theological exam to pass to enter God's love. There's no quiz on the difference between modalism and partialism and adoptionism and docetism and Arianism, which are all Trinitarian heresies, ways of misunderstanding this. And don't ask me what they all mean right now. But it's all by grace. God's love is for you. God is welcoming you, welcoming us into God's presence, inviting us into relationship, calling us, as we'll sing in a moment, to join in the dance of Trinity, to live into who God created us to be, beloved children of our Creator. And if that sounds a little bit mystical, a little bit vague, that's okay. The mystery of the Trinity is the mystery of God with us. First, that the King of Kings has chosen to enter into our world, chosen to be born a human being, chosen to die for us on the cross, to experience even the worst that this world can offer. And second, the mystery of the Trinity is that God is still with us, moving among us. The Holy Spirit is working on us, working in us, working through us, reminding us of what Jesus has taught, connecting us to our Heavenly Father, our Redeemer, our Lord. And so our call, beloved of God, is to embrace the mystery of God, to do our best to live faithfully, to learn and understand as much as our puny little human brains can grasp. And when we can't understand, to believe, to trust, to look to Jesus to know who God is, and to join in God's work as the Holy Spirit gives us the ability. Our job is to listen to the Holy Spirit, who reveals the truth of God's love to us and to the world. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.